Warrior sound coverage of the NBA Finals picks back up here in Cleveland at the Q with the Warriors and Cavs getting ready for Game 3 on Wednesday night. And on this Tuesday, a practice session and an opportunity to talk with a variety of folks. And let's start with Ian Clark. It's been such a joy to watch you over the past couple of seasons and in this playoffs, just playing with joy and the way that you guys play. For you, what's been some of the more joyful moments and things that you will always remember about this experience?
The guys I'm going to fight with, the guys in that locker room, the coaching staff, the way that we all buy in for a common goal. And it's hard to find when you got everybody on the team that's pulling for each other. And I think that's something that we have, and it's something I'll never forget.
It's so amazing, too, and the fans feel it, and the energy that returns from the fans to the players and then in repeat back to the fans is so special. And then when you get in a road situation like this where, you know, this is a very intense environment, what are some of the things you guys do to take the positive energy you got at Oracle Arena and then bring it into a road environment?
Being able to continue to push for each other, to pull for each other in any way possible. Any loose ball, any guys that's making effort diving on the floor, we're all up on the bench clapping. I think that when we bring that energy from within ourselves, it keeps it in-house. And when you have that confidence from your teammates, you know, it only want to make you play better, only makes the team better. And we want to kind of keep that, you know, especially in this hostile environment.
So fans can understand it, as you enter a playoff series, and let's say just here in the finals, you don't really change anything. You want everything to stay the same. Help folks understand like what a routine would be, that you guys just keep exactly the same so that it's about playing basketball, even though it is the NBA Finals.
Being able to you know, take the practices the same. We still go through our same routines. Guys still get their work in before and after practice. Because it's a lot of distraction when you have, you know, you have a lot of family coming in town, when you're at home or even on the away games. You have the media situation is different. It's more media being able to have, you know, media availability before practice. So make sure that you stay on course. You understand that you still we still have to play, but also you know, it's a bigger stage. So you have to continue to be yourself.
I love it. It is all about family and enjoying these moments, and we enjoy talking with you. And from the moment we got to be in Memphis and meet your dad, John, your mom, Shelbia, and tell the story of the high school jersey retirement, and then just see what a remarkable season it has been. It's just been something very, very special. Thank you so much for joining us here, Ian.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, in just a bit, we will hear from Stephen Curry and Jim Barnett, along with Scott Osler, but want to bring in what Coach Kerr had to say today at the podium.
Steve, you mentioned this situation with you in and out coaching, you know, being awkward at times with you and Mike. Why has it been so smooth, and how much of that is Mike's attitude through this whole process and really the relationship you guys have built all season?
It's just everything. It's the players. It's how talented the players are, first of all. I mean, winning, you know, solves everything, basically. But it's also the players' unselfishness and their own commitment to each other and to the staff. And then Mike is just a terrific human being, much like everybody else on our staff. The whole thing is designed to where we just work together, and there's nothing other than a commitment to doing what's best for the team, and it all plays out from there.
Front left. Steve Connor-Letourneau, San Francisco Chronicle. What are your memories from Game 3 last year? What sticks out to you, and how different do the circumstances feel right now as opposed to entering that game?
They just took it to us right from the beginning. I remember our offense was pushed back to half court the first few possessions. They set a great tone. I think they went up big right away. And so we got to be ready for that initial force.
Mark, back right.
Coach, what do you remember about T. Lou as a player playing against him, and also what do you think about the job he's done here?
Ty was feisty, you know, typical defensive-minded smaller point guard who was really quick, would get underneath you. He knew exactly how he had to survive in the league. He made himself a good offensive player, you know, worked on his shot, but his real gift was to be a pest, be a competitor and a pest, and he was a really, really good player for a lot of teams.
How
Hi, Steve. Televisa from Mexico, Miguel Angel Briseño. You said last year that you didn't like so much rest in between games. Mm-hmm. Have you made some adjustments to the team's routine in order to get better results?
No adjustments. I mean, it is what it is. You just whatever you need to do, you feel it and you do it. Yesterday was an obvious day off for our guys, and today we'll try to get a good practice in. And I'm glad that the next two games are only one day apart.
Back left, Tim.
Hey, Steve. Tim Otis from the Washington Post. How much was the game here on Christmas kind of a, I don't want to say a turning point, kind of an inflection point for you guys, given, you know, the way Steph played in that game and kind of the way things changed after it for him and for you guys as a group?
It was a good game for us. Disappointing finish, but a good test for us, a good reminder of, you know, first of all, how good these guys are, but also a good indication that, you know, we had some things to figure out. We had KD roll in that game. Steph was not having a great game. I think that was kind of the point of the season where we started doing a better job of blending their talents. And it wasn't really anything strategic. It was more just a feel. And that was natural. That was going to come the more those guys played together.
On the left side.
Steve, Ross Goldenwood, NBC Sports Bay Area. It seems like over the course of the season, there was that Christmas game, then there was KD's absence with his injury and stuff. It seems like Steph and KD are really just playing with great synergy together right now. Why was that able to come together finally for this playoff run?
I think the more guys play together, the more it happens naturally. You just get used to each other's tendencies and rhythms. They're obviously both so skilled and talented, but what we knew when we signed KD was that the fit would be pretty smooth. It's not like you're trying to put two dominant ball handlers together who can't shoot. You know, that's a much more difficult proposition. The example I would probably give you would be like Miami with Wade and LeBron, right? I think that was a much tougher transition because you're talking about two guys who generally in their careers to that point had been kind of point forward types. Neither one was really a three-point shooter at the time, so it took them a good year, I thought, to figure out, you know, how to play together. And then they did it beautifully. But with Steph and KD, you're talking about guys who handle the ball, who shoot from range, who cut, who are kind of used to playing off the ball. You know, so that the transition, I think, was pretty smooth. It did take a little bit of time, but for the most part, their talents fit together pretty naturally.
And I know that you know so many personalities in this league. Besides the talents, what is it about their personalities, perhaps their willingness to listen or be flexible?
You know, they're just both very naturally unselfish and relatively quiet. Neither one craves the spotlight, but neither one shies away from it either. I think they've become really good friends. They really enjoy playing together. They understand the power that they possess together, and I think that's an important dynamic. You know, it's not about one or the other. It's about both of them, and they can put a lot of pressure on people.
All right, I want to bring in something special now here from Cleveland as Warriors broadcaster Jim Barnett has been on a variety of radio shows talking about the finals and the NBA playoffs as the weeks have unfolded here. And one of the things he talked about most recently was a great article that he saw written by Scott Osler at the San Francisco Chronicle about the joy that Stephen Curry plays the game with. And we brought in both Scott and Jim into this one conversation.
Well, I was on a radio show out of New York last night, and I had to reference Scott Osler, and I've been trying to define what, you know, is different about Stephen Curry, what makes him, and what's inside him, and I talk about resolve and the mental toughness and the heart that he has, but I thought Scott Osler brought it all together and pretty in a simplification about pure joy, and especially the part where he turned the ball over six times in the first half of game two, and he goes into the locker room expecting maybe to get a little reprimanded from Steve Kerr, and Steve Kerr's talking about his body language and saying, hey, you know, I don't like your body language. You got to go out there and be positive and show that you're having fun, and that's So that's how Steph Curry does it. He you know, goofs around before the game, during the layup line, whatever. And I just thought Scott Oster captured it perfectly.
And the best thing about the NBA Finals is that we're all here together, and Scott here with us gives us the perspective of exactly what it is that you may have learned or surprised you in any way when you were doing this story and chronicling the joy that Steph plays with.
Nothing. I'm kind of inspired by the guy, because you see him behind the – we get to see him a little bit behind the scenes. You know, I don't go home with him and stuff like that, but you see him after practice, at the end of practice, doing silly little games. You know, he does this serious shooting, you know, where he'll shoot for 45 minutes or whatever. Then he does stupid little games where he tries to kick the ball into the basket from half court. And I saw one time when he was throwing full court lobs, trying to make like an 80-foot shot, and Steve Kerr jumped out and says, "No more, no more." He's like a dad, you know, "You're going to hurt your, you're going to pull your shoulder out and stuff." He's like a little kid, you know. It's a beautiful thing to see.
Now I'll ask you both as we enter Game 3, and we'll start with Jim. For the Warriors, with the momentum that's been built, what do you consider to be the keys heading into this Game 3?
At shoot-around tomorrow, they should throw the ball from one end of the court to the other and see who can hit the backboard with it, and then who can hit the first half-court shot. I saw that 2 years ago when I came back here, and I was, you know, I'm old school, and I'm thinking, gee, if old school coaches saw this, they'd say, these guys aren't serious enough. They're not focused. And to me, the Warriors, in seriousness, when they get out on the floor, if they attack the Cavs defensively first, defensive-minded first, and Kevin Durant, as great as he is at the offensive end, the 38 points, the 33 points the first two games, he's a heck of a defender. He makes LeBron James work at both ends of the floor, makes him work a whole lot. I thought they got fatigued in Game 2. But if they attack it defensively, the offense will take care of itself.
Scott, what are you looking forward to with Game 3?
I think you got to come out with that. We're talking about that, with that joy. I think, I bet if you asked Kevin Durant, he would be shocked at the difference between his old team, Oklahoma City, and this team, and the way maybe they prepare, the way they have their goof-around times, and the way it translates onto the court, how they come out here, you know, when they're pushing the ball and they're running, and there's, man, that freedom and joy, it just, that's got to be intoxicating for a player, I would think.
It's unbelievable. It's great fun to watch. So glad that you are here following it with us. Scott Oster of the San Francisco Chronicle, Jim Barnett, Warriors broadcaster, two of our very favorite people. Thank you so much for being here on Warrior Sound.
Thank you, Lawrence.
And finally, this is what Stephen Curry had to say to the media here on Tuesday in Cleveland.
Steph, Davide Chinellato, Gazzetta Italy. What do you guys expect from LeBron James? He's playing as good as you as and Kevin, but, you know, it's his own floor. Is probably going to be the one that will try to keep the Cavs in the series. What do you guys expect from him?
We expect that. We expect him to play well, play with a lot of force, aggressiveness. There's the change in venue will probably spark a lot of energy from them, and we have to play even better to try to get a win in Game 3 than we have in the first two games, knowing how much they can feed off the home crowd, how inspired LeBron and Kyrie are probably going to be, especially out the gate, try to set the tone. So it'll be fun. It'll be a fun atmosphere. We've been here before. We know what to expect from that standpoint, and just going to be a matter of how well we can pay attention to details on our game plan and the adjustments we're going to make going into Game 3.
Chris, back left.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. Steph, going back to what happened last year in Game 3, Draymond said that Game 3 is going to be the toughest game of the series thus far. What makes it so tough, and what can you learn from what happened in last year's finals in Game 3?
We can learn, you know, how thin the line is from success and failure, especially, you know, playing on the road. Usually home teams, you know, have a different spark about them, and they might make a few more shots. You know, those momentum swings, those, you know, 6-point, 8-point runs that you can go on can be, you know, a lot harder to deal with 19,000 people going crazy. So you got to just understand, you know, what's at stake every possession from the jump. The biggest thing for us is we usually haven't gotten off to a great start in this building. In the first quarter, they come out with a lot of energy and things click for them, and we've usually had to deal with a deficit. Whether we come back or not is another question, but hopefully we can play better in that first quarter, especially to give ourselves a little bit more momentum than we've had in the past here.
A couple of rows up in the aisle.
Steph Rosgold on What A, NBC Sports Bay Area. You know, the Christmas game was a little bit, was a tough one for you. But since then, what are some of the turning points and adjustments that have happened so that the whole transition of you and KD together really seems to be coming together at the right time right now?
I mean, there's a lot of things, just obviously getting more comfortable with each other as time goes on, but just simplifying things, really. And understanding that not just me and KD, but Clay, you know, Draymond, we all can just be ourselves and just play our game and not have to overthink or overcomplicate anything, really. We all bring a little something different to the table. And the pieces of that puzzle fit really well. And so when we're all locked in and focused and playing aggressive, knowing that if, you know, whoever has the ball, make a play, just try to keep it simple. You know, something good is going to happen. You're going to either, you know, make a play for yourself or for somebody else. So that's really it, really. That was just a good lesson to learn in a hostile environment here, that, you know, the stat sheet might look differently from night to night, but at the end of the day, we all have a role on this team. We all have an opportunity to help us win, and we all can, you know, really play at an extremely high level at the same time and do great things.
And lastly, are you and KD friends? And if so, at what point do you feel that started to really develop and happen?
I can't stand that guy, man.
Not for real.
No, just playing. I've known him since 2009, basically. So I wouldn't say we, you know, we're not at each other's house every day. We're not that type of thing. But when you go through these battles, and from October till now, I definitely feel like I know him a lot better than I did, and that'll hopefully continue as we hopefully go forward in our careers. But he's a great dude. He has a great sense of humor. I feel like I'm like a dating show right now. He's a great dude. Great dude. I really like being around him, and hopefully that continues.
Tim and Marcus before
Tim Kawakami, American News. Steph, your team's never been shy about chasing history, particularly last year with 73. Do you allow yourself, even quietly, to say what 16-0 could mean historically for you?
Nah, because we have a huge hurdle to get over tomorrow. Might we talked about it a little earlier, Game 3 has been rough for us historically, and especially in this building. So to give ourselves a chance to even coming close to thinking about that, we need to really, really just lock in and give every effort we have on tomorrow and how hard this 48 minutes is going to be to really seize control of the series. We've talked about before that 16-0 doesn't matter in any stretch of the imagination unless that's a closeout game, and that's the opportunity in front of us, because all it is just winning a championship and doing what you need to do to get that done. So tomorrow is another step in that direction that we need to be ready for.
Draymond just said that going for 73 maybe was a mistake. Maybe not a mistake blatantly, but just maybe took your focus off a little bit of the championship. Do you agree with that? Maybe you talked about it, or it was just too much of a thing for you guys last year?
I don't know. I mean, in the moment, you obviously wanted it. That was a decision we had talked about, and we had discussed as a group and answered questions from the media pretty much from January on about that being a possibility. So I don't know if there maybe have been a little bit of a mental fatigue when it comes to just how much it took to get that 73 done and then having to, you know, restart and go through the playoffs. But I honestly wouldn't regret those decisions at all. Well known, we were one game away from winning a championship. So I don't think you can second guess that much. But this situation is nice to be able to just turn the page and just focus on winning a championship in its purest form. And that's what we're about right now.
All right, Warriors Cavs Game 3 coming up Wednesday night. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is Warrior Sound.